Praise the Lord, everyone. It's Dr. Michael Morris, again, of For God's Glory Ministries, coming to you with Bible study on CD. This is Bible study session number 125, and we're going to be covering the book of the Revelation, chapter 17. Of course, before that, we will share with you a quiz, and that will cover the book of the Revelation, chapter 16. We have five questions on our quiz. Question number one. Who received the terrible sores from the first bowl of God's wrath? The answer is those with the mark of the beast and those that worship the image of the beast. Question number two. This is a true or false question. As a result of the seven plagues, many will repent and come to the Lord. Is that true or false? The answer is false. Question number three. This is another true or false question. The main impact of the rivers turning into blood will be lost opportunities for fishermen and those who depend on fish for food. Is that true or false? That is false. Drinkable water will be the thing that's impacted the most. Question number four, another true or false. The nations will be drawn to the Battle of Armageddon by spiritual forces. Is that true or false? The answer is true. And our final question, another true or false question. The Nile River will dry up and make way for the kings of the east for the Battle of Armageddon. Is that true or false? The answer is false. That is the Euphrates River that will dry up. Well, as always, I hope you did great on the quiz. And now we'll get started with our study of the book of the Revelation, chapter 17. Well, chapter 16 showed us the final judgment or the earthly punishing events by way of the great bowls of wrath. Now, we also learned that God took very special note of the evil associated with the seat of religious and political power. What we're now going to get is we're going to get a very special front row seat on the details of that judgment. So chapter 17 will first delve into the religious and spiritual depravity associated with that place. And then it will talk about the economic, political, and commercial aspects. Now, this judgment is so important and compelling that John, without asking, is beckoned to view it. Now, in this vision, we're going to get an even clearer picture of the world as it will be crafted by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, let's look at verses 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials or bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So John is beckoned to see the judgment of the great whore, which is also referred to as the woman, as you'll see later in the vision as we read further. But let's spend just a little bit of time at least understanding a couple things. One, who is this woman? And two, what is she guilty of? Now, first of all, this woman represents the church or religious establishment under the Antichrist. And we're going to get a clearer view of this with more details in the upcoming verses. Now, this church influences and dominates peoples, nations all over the world, represented by many waters, as described in the vision. Now, this church is said to have committed fornication with the kings of the earth. Now, first of all, when we think of fornication, we think of sex outside of marriage. This really could also be translated adultery. And the point here being that the church that purports to represent and to be bonded to Christ and to represent God actually should not participate in, encourage, or compel someone to worship or bow down to anything or anyone else. And so to do so or to participate this way is spiritual fornication or adultery. So again, this is not the sexual reference that you might immediately think of or that would first come to your mind. Now, the other thing to help us here is the fact that the Greek word that's translated as whore is actually porne, which is often referred to as idolater. And so that's going to become quite important to have a full and accurate understanding of what this and the next chapter are really getting at. So this is the picture of the church, presumably betrothed to Christ and faithful to God, committed to and bonded to another, recommending, compelling, and causing worship of another. And so ultimately, this church is going to encourage idolatry. And that is the problem. That's what really bothers God. This church, in end times, under the influence of the false prophet and the Antichrist, will cause people first and foremost to go against the first and second commandments. And you'll see as we go along what really angers God in this whole situation. Okay, now let's touch on this issue of drunkenness. As verse 2 says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So first of all, this is not literal drunkenness with alcohol, at least. So it's not related to that. Rather, it relates to the abandonment of good judgment and embracing looseness of morals and ethics contrary to God's wishes. In other words, intoxicated with all of the things that the flesh desires during that time that will be encouraged and justified through the religious practices and beliefs of the time. So the point is that overindulgence with wine and other substances cause you to yield to your flesh's worst impulses and desires. And the world will fall under the influence of this quote unquote religious system during the very end times. Now, this religious system will be fully connected to the political and governmental leaders of the world at this time. And actually, for a while, will even appear to dominate the situation, just like in the Middle Ages, where the Catholic Church dominated everything. But contrary to what we might imagine, the world has not been better off when men claiming to represent God have dominated it. We've always seen more man than God in these circumstances, unfortunately. And worse yet, in this case, we actually happen to know that the forces behind it are demonic. So what we're going to learn about through John is God's view of this judgment, this punishment, of this end-time religious, political, and economic system that betrays its representation of God, being in league with Satan and the Antichrist, all directed by the false prophet. So let's read verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now notice here that the woman is actively and voluntarily sitting upon this blasphemous beast. Now we know that the beast represents Satan and the Antichrist. Now initially, here as we read this, she does appear to be the one in control and supported by the beast rather than the other way around. But let's learn a little bit more about this woman or church system as we read verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So we know that this woman is a church system and presumably with an allegiance to God. Unfortunately, these are the colors and the vest, and this has led many over the years to assume that the Catholic Church will embody or will be the religious system in the end. Now, of course, if you add to this the location implied by the 7 heads, which represents the city on 7 hills, that definitely makes you wonder in terms of Italy being the home of the Vatican. It's difficult to ignore these pieces of information as they come together. Now, one other little tidbit that will draw your mind to the possibility or likelihood of the center of power in the end times being in Europe is the fact that many have given their power away in terms of the European Union and given up their national powers. And the fact that one of the main symbols of the European Union actually is the goddess Europa riding a beast, which actually has the likeness of a bull. And he's actually running on top of water. So just food for thought, and we'll see what you think about that as we move along further. Okay, now verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So God chooses to liken this religious system to Babylon. Now this is likely due to the forced idolatry with the threat of death for those who refuse. And this is very similar in that regard to what was happening during the Babylonian captivity, particularly when Nebuchadnezzar built the golden image and insisted that people bow down to it. So this greater or mother church will influence the churches throughout the earth to convert to the ways of the Antichrist's liking. Verse 6 says, And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So just in times past, this church will persecute true believers. This is another connection with the Catholic Church. We all have known that believers have been persecuted throughout all of time, but by and large, this is by non-believers. The notable example, however, the notable exception, when believers were being persecuted by believers. And then in verse 7, the angel says something else to John. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. So John's amazement reflects the fact that he still hadn't put it all together yet. He still hadn't understood the meaning of what he was seeing, even though he had the visions. So now he's about to get some clarification. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. I'm not even going to finish that verse yet. I want to tell you basically what this means is the beast was in the past, is not currently around, and shall come up out of the bottomless pit or the abyss, and then go into destruction. That part where he's going into destruction relates to the fact that his final earthly campaign is going to lead to his ultimate destination in hell. Okay, now to finish the verse. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder or be astonished, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So only those who are not with God should marvel or be amazed or admire this Antichrist and his system representing Satan on earth. Now, we've looked at these upcoming verses before, actually, when we were covering a previous chapter, especially when we were first reading about the beast representing the Antichrist in chapter 13. But nonetheless, we're going to go through them because now we have an even greater understanding and ability to absorb it. Verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So the woman is definitely Rome, the city of seven hills or seven mountains. Now, real quick, before we go to verse 10, just in case you wonder, is that really the case? We see again, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now let's go over to verse 18. I know we haven't gotten there yet, but let's take a look at verse 18. It says, finally, as it builds up to this point, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So we know two things. We know that the woman sits on the seven mountains. And we know that it's actually Rome that sits on the seven mountains. And then we see that the woman is the great city. So we know that the woman actually is represented by a city. And we also know that that city is going to reign over the kings of the earth. Now, if you were a contemporary of John and you were reading this, you actually would recognize that the city that reigns over the kings of the earth at that time was Rome. Okay. And then fast forward, we see that this woman is reigning over the kings of the earth, at the end. So we'll put it all together. You'll see. And in verse 10, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short time. So we've talked about the five kings or kingdoms, and at the time of this writing, they are living in the sixth kingdom, which is the Roman Empire. Ultimately, there will be another, a seventh kingdom, which will last a shorter period of time, a couple of centuries that we have here that we're living in, or several centuries. But ultimately, that of those seven, one is going to return and be the final force at the end of times. And that's where verse 11 comes in. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and he goeth into perdition. So remember that Rome at the time was the sixth empire of seven, as I said just a second ago, represented by the heads of the beast. Now, the seventh will last a short time again, And again, some say that this is the sort of the British Empire, of which the United States is included as a part of. Now, no doubt this eighth is the Antichrist-dominated reign, and he is of the seven. He will lead a revived version of one of the seven. So will it be a revived Roman Empire, as many say that it might be, especially with the European Union, which certainly seems to lay the groundwork for this political possibility? The seat of religious power being Rome, and the role of the woman would point to Rome. But where does this Babylon come in at? We'll talk about that a little bit later when we get into chapter 18. Next, let's look at verses 12 through 14. And John writes, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." So a federation of 10 leaders or nations will with one mind give their sovereignty over for one cause under the leadership of the Antichrist. This war may be the Battle of Armageddon, but it's not said explicitly. They certainly will have power to give away, and clearly some of that will be military in nature. And actually, as you look at it, it probably is the Battle of Armageddon, because the Antichrist forces will overcome God's people initially, especially. And the time that he is overcome first will be in this battle. So it probably is, even though it's not referenced as such, it probably does point to the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 15, "And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest were where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." And so this just points to the fact that this religious system will deceive and subdue, and this will be done worldwide with a worldwide impact. And that takes us to the final few verses of this chapter, starting at 16. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." So we see here that for some reason which is not given, these 10 leaders that give their power and strength over to the Antichrist system will come to hate the woman. They will come to hate this church system that gets the peoples of the world to buy into the Antichrist leadership and encourage and even enforce worship of his image. There will be tremendous intermingling of religious, economic, and political workings in this system, but it collapses in on itself, as we see in verse 16. And in verse 17, we see that just as God has done for centuries throughout time, really, he will utilize the leaders of his choice in order to accomplish his goals, even leaders that don't appear to be on his side or who are not on his side. God will prevail. God is still in control. And initially, these folks will be in league with the Antichrist and his system. And then they will destroy it at its core from the inside. And then finally in verse 18, we have confirmation that the woman represents the city where the religious, economic, and political dominance is headquartered. And that is Rome. At least according to what we can see here, it must be Rome. But in any case, its fate is clearly known. Well, that brings us to the end of chapter 17. And I wonder if you noticed something. The angel beckoned John so that he could show him the judgment of the whore, the woman. And actually, up through this chapter, we've gotten an idea of who the woman is. We've gotten an idea of what she is guilty of. We've gotten a reminder of what the heads mean. We know that the woman is a city. We've gotten a sense for how the Antichrist-dominated system will do its workings. We see that the horns represent kings, and they'll give their power over to the Antichrist for a time, and then they will cause the system to collapse in on itself because they will come to hate the woman. We've understood that the political, economic, and religious system will be intertwined, but actually we see no judgment. We still haven't seen the thing that John was beckoned to see. So stay tuned. We won't get that here in verse 17, but this was a setup so that you're in position to fully embrace and understand and absorb chapter 18. And so that's it for now. I look forward to the next time with you so that we can see the fall of Babylon, see the remainder of this judgment of this woman, the whore. And so until next time, this is Dr. Michael Morris for God's Glory Ministries, hoping that you will continue to uncover God's hidden treasure in your life and that you will do things for God's glory. God bless.